Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name's Allison Klein. Today I'm here with Sriram Vangal from Intel's Labs.
Happy to be here.
You are a principal research scientist at Intel. Sriram, what do you focus on?
Basically, I've been focusing a lot of research over the years. There are multiple areas. I mean, they've gone from working on high-performance multi-core chips, moving on to, over the past few years, improving their energy efficiency.
You recently showed a demonstration of something called near-threshold voltage core. And I was in the audience when you showed that, and I tweeted, super smart guy in a lab coat shows solar-powered microprocessor. Why don't you tell us about what you showed? I didn't know I was going to be talking to you. I'm glad I called you smart. Why don't you tell us what you showed and how that relates to your broader research?
Okay. Basically, the return on investment. You give some power, and then you get some work done in return. It's like we get a salary, and then you get some work done in return. Mm-hmm. Transistors are the same way. You give them a certain amount of energy, and you get a certain kind of return out of it. So very early work, this is the physics of the transistor, showed that when you actually operate a transistor down to the threshold voltage, that means this is the voltage at which these transistors just begin to conduct. From that point onwards, they just take off, kind of like they sprint along. Mm-hmm. So at that point is when you have the best energy. That's the good side. I mean, okay, the bad news is when you actually operate them, they tend to operate really slow. If you imagine, the challenge is to actually get that energy benefit but preserve performance.
So from a microprocessor standpoint, what goes into the design to balance those two things so that performance is preserved?
Some of these chips, in general, going forward, will allow you to actually move across a very wide operational range. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, this is like you're on the highway, you're doing 60 or 70 miles an hour. The moment you take an exit and get into a neighborhood, you automatically slow down to 25, right? So the point is, the car's mileage per gallon, which is like energy, also changes all along. So what this basically means is that you're going to have chips that are going to get very, very intelligent going forward. What it'll do is it'll just adjust itself to speeds that it thinks is good enough for the application. It's been in the cell phone space, but now you're going to see this in data centers, supercomputers, because, you know, nobody wants to keep building coal-powered thermal power plant. It's, if possible, all the energy comes from the sun, you consume it.
In the data center space, we talk about a concept called proportional computing. I would assume that this takes proportional computing at the low end of the range down to its theoretical levels where we want it to go.
It's very well said, Mirina. See, you're smarter than me. You've heard of turbo mode on one side, mm-hmm. where a processor's working and then you push it up.
Right.
This basically does it the same in the other direction, where it takes it down to a level where everything is still on, everything's still alive, and then you're still going. And I always use this analogy, even when trying to explain to my kid, is, you know, generally a crocodile, for example, right, if it's coasting along, just before it tries to make a kill, its heartbeat slows down to about 5-10 beats or something. But it conserves its energy so much that just before it pounces, it races to about 120 or 150, and boom, it's done. So computing, I'm saying, in a similar way, is you actually warm it down. It's still alive. Its heart's still alive. And, you know, it's being a cold-blooded thing. It has that ability to adjust its heart rate on demand. If a creature can do that, why shouldn't a microprocessor or any digital device?
Is this technology delivered in our microarchitecture design? Is it delivered in the instruction set? Is it a combination of the two or somewhere else?
To be honest, it's a combination of everything. Microarchitecture, logic, circuits, physical design, software, everything needs to come together.
You've shown that it can work on a real piece of silicon at this point. How do you take this from the labs into productization?
So the thing is, there are tons of problems that we have. Mm-hmm. What happens is, a reducer voltage, the first thing you're giving up is instability, is noise margins. These are the margins that tell you whether it's electrical logic 1 or a 0. As you start collapsing, we call that a static noise margin. And the noise margin keeps going lower and lower and lower, so you're kind of cutting it closer and closer to the bone. At that time, what happens is circuits have trouble differentiating between a 1 or a 0. And that's when you start having functional failures. And the troublemakers really are things that store, in other words, memory blocks. Mm-hmm. So you have to re-engineer caches, any kind of solid-state storage, your flip-flops, your latches, your sequentials, I could go on. I mean, all of these are extremely sensitive. So when that happens, you have to basically go in, and then you kind of have to be nice to them, you have to massage them, and then you have to, in most cases, re-engineer them to tolerate those low voltages. So once you do that, then you're kind of preparing it and saying, look, this technology is becoming ready. Now you go to products and say, what do you think? I mean, you know, should we try it out? And then, you know, and then you get a yay or a nay, depending on how nice you are.
So I didn't know that you were being nice and massaging it at 22 nanometers or less. That's exciting. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, I have to treat those transistors nicely, just like I'm talking to my wife. I mean, yeah.
So, Sriram, one last question for you. You used to work on driving the highest performance capability in processors, and now you're focused on driving the lowest amount of power to deliver performance. Which one do you like doing better? And do you miss the days of performance scaling, or is this a more interesting challenge for you?
Allison, you know, personally, it was more of a philosophical thing for me. I mean, and I really wanted to work on something that wouldn't dissipate too much power. I think we gouge energy too much. Our laptops is an example. If I literally put it on my lap, there are days where I felt it, the heat. You know, if I talk on the cell phone for 15 minutes, it heats up. I'm tired of these things generating heat. Why shouldn't these chips be self-sustaining for once? Mm-hmm. You ever wondered, I left my charger behind, I left my cell phone this behind?
Every time I come to
exactly, right? Yeah. And when do we get this unfettered freedom from all of these? Just be nice to Earth, right? I mean, just build computers that whenever performance demands are modest, you scale back to a point where they can self-sustain. Personally, I'm very motivated environmentally to drive green computing happen, even if it may not have the most business sense. So,
Sriram, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Certainly.
Very exciting field, and I look forward to seeing how this develops in the future.
You're welcome, and thanks, Allison.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.